They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Little faith in retail.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The early results from the start of the holiday shopping season are pretty good for retailers. Thanksgiving weekend sales might have even topped last year's. But Wall Street isn't very confident. Most retail stocks are down this morning. There's a lot of skepticism that strong sales will continue without huge discounts. And those, of course, devour the bottom line. So far, the Dow is down 300 points to 8522. The NASDAQ has dropped 56. It's more than 3% for both those indexes. The S&P 500 is down 4%, 36 points. In Europe so far, stocks are down 2 to 3%. In Asia, mostly losses by the close. This could grind consumer spending to a halt. Bank analyst Meredith Whitney predicts credit card companies will wipe out $2 trillion worth of credit lines in the next 18 months. More on that from Ashley Milne-Tite.
Banks want to minimize the risk of getting stuck with loans consumers can't repay. One way to do that is not to offer so much credit in the first place. But Scott Hoyt of MoodysEconomy.com says it's not necessarily that simple. He puts it this way. Say banks decide to cut the credit lines of people who max out their cards each month, but pay off a little each month too.
I mean, someone who's carrying a balance and making regular charges, if they, you know, reduce that consumer's ability to carry a balance and to make charges, then they're cutting into their revenue streams. It's a balancing act that they have to carry out.
The other side of the balancing act is the risk that that consumer could stop making payments altogether. That's a risk banks see increasing as the economy continues shaky and job losses threaten to force more consumers into living on credit. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Today, Beijing said it's had 256 blue sky days this year. It has nothing to do with the weather. It refers to pollution. The city promised 256 clear days this year as part of its Olympics push. Beijing has spent $15 billion on air quality since having only 100 blue sky days 10 years ago. But China has another problem. Exports are way down. Our Shanghai Bureau Chief Scott Tong has more.
Factory orders in China fell to their lowest level since the government started measuring them. Translation, says one economist, overseas customers did a Wile E. Coyote, as in they fell off a cliff. And China is just starting to feel America's pain in the form of plunging exports. Beijing has already slashed interest rates and pledged a massive stimulus package. And over the weekend, it promised subsidies to rural residents. Political analyst Russell Moses says economic stability goes hand in hand with social stability.
It's beginning to smell a bit like a crisis in terms of what officials and leaders are starting to see. One of the things they're starting to see are protests, and they're also starting to see more bad news internationally. And I don't think they're quite sure how to cope with that.
Last week, hundreds of laid-off factory workers smashed company windows and computers and overturned police cars. Over the weekend, Chinese President Hu Jintao warned that the global crisis will test our party's ability to govern. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
If we only knew what we know. Apparently, financial regulators knew a meltdown might be coming. The Associated Press did a review of government documents. In early 2006, a California mortgage lender warned regulators about subprime loans. She said, expect fallout, expect foreclosures, expect horror stories. But the president of Washington Mutual told the government those loans were safer than many fixed-rate mortgages. Regulators waited nearly a year to do something, and then it was too late. This year, Washington Mutual collapsed. This is the Morning Report for Monday, December 1st on Marketplace.org. Today is so-called Cyber Monday. I say so-called because the National Retail Federation calls it that. I guess we'll find out if online retail is going to suffer just as much as the stores. Danielle Carson reports.
Last year, holiday shoppers spent nearly $40 billion online, an 18% jump over 2006. But like their shopping mall counterparts, retailers in cyberspace are feeling the pinch of the economic downturn this year.
The internet is mainstream enough that when something happens that impacts the overall retail sector, web sales are affected as well.
Ellen Davis is with the National Retail Federation. She says online retail spending for November and December is expected to stay flat for the first time since shopping on the web began. Still, she says e-commerce has a slight edge.
Many people choose to shop online because it's easier to find good deals and good bargains. So the online sector is a little bit more immune than traditional retailers when it comes to an economic downturn.
More than 80% of retailers are expected to have promotions posted online today. I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Over the weekend, shopping mall owner General Growth Properties avoided bankruptcy, barely. It got a 2-week extension on, you guessed it, mortgage loans. More from Nancy Marshall Genzer.
General Growth Properties isn't alone in its misery. Malls across the country are entering foreclosure. They're victims of the same credit crunch that poisoned the housing market. You have to borrow a lot of money to build a mall. Retail analyst Howard Davidowitz says when times were good, developers built too many malls.
All of these guys overextended, took on too much debt. There was no room for any mistakes, and they hit the wall, and they're gone.
The loans from the good times are now coming due. Mall owners can't refinance. They have to pay up. But Harvard marketing professor David Bell says malls are low on cash right now. Most stores pay them a percentage of their sales, and sales are way down.
If store sales are off 20%, then the mall owner's income is off 20%.
Stock in the biggest mall owner in the country, Simon Property Group, has fallen by half since the beginning of October. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Detroit's carmakers are working feverishly to come up with plans to submit to Congress. They have until tomorrow to present their turnaround proposals. Yesterday, the head of the UAW said the union was willing to sacrifice to get a bailout for the big three as long as the carmakers cut executive pay. Meanwhile, auto dealerships around the country are anxiously waiting for something good to happen. Here's Stacey Vanek Smith.
20% of all retail spending in the U.S. is done at auto dealerships, or at least it was. About 700 dealerships have closed their doors so far this year. Andy Koblenz is with the National Automobile Dealers Association. He says the credit crunch has been especially rough on dealers.
The dealers carry a very expensive and very large inventories, and they also have needs for financing for their customers themselves.
The money the U.S. government has pumped into credit markets has helped, says Automotive News' Keith Crane. But he says the best thing the country can do for U.S. auto dealers is bail out U.S. automakers.
Historically, whenever there's been the smell of death about a franchise, people shied away completely. Plymouth went away, and Studebaker and Oldsmobile, just on the suggestion.
I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Wall Street ain't what it used to be, even a few months ago. And that's kind of tough on the little shops that depend on the financial types as patrons. Well, for some shops. Wall Streeters' new frugality means more business for some stores. Sally Herships explains.
Victoria Gonzalez is a Wall Streeter with a job. She's an entertainment lawyer. But like so many others in the financial district, she's cutting back.
I used to go and have my nails manicured each week. Now I just do everything myself. Nobody's noticed it. No one has commented.
Gonzalez is at Mina's Shoe Repair fixing up some old black pumps. Mina's Polikronaki says despite the dark clouds lurking above, his Wall Street shop is busy. Business is up 30% over last year.
Do customers tell you that they're getting their shoes fixed because they can't afford to buy new ones?
They don't have to tell me. They bring me Prada, Manolo, Jimmy Choo.
Those are some Jimmy Choos right there, right? And how much would this kind of shoe normally cost?
It's about $600.
Really? But that's just a plain beige pump.
Dressing like Mr. Big can cost big. So financial fat cats have begun bargain shopping in their own closets. And it's not just their shoe racks they reach for.
You're looking at about $1,200 a yard. And the average person would take about 3.5 yards to make a suit.
Harry Bamby is a tailor in Midtown Manhattan, and if you do the math, a suit handmade from the cashmere wool mix he showed me would cost over $4,000.
Yeah, it's a lot of cloth. It's a lot of money.
Now, with cutbacks and layoffs, his customers are brushing off their old pinstripes instead. Custom orders are down by 30%, but alterations are up by 20%. Enough to keep the tailors working hard. Back on Wall Street, I ask Minas Polokranaki if the bad economy is good for him.
Really, it's not good for me. If Wall Street die, all the economy, all the world's going to die.
Polokranaki might be cashing in now, but he's hopeful the stock market will bounce back. If not, he says, there'll be a price to pay in the long run. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Today, Japan's economic minister said he's worried about deflation. Everybody seems to be throwing that word around these days.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is here. Alan, I know you aren't worried about deflation. Why not?
Deflation is something that happened back in the Depression, and the prices of everything collapsed. And then the banking system collapsed. It also had a Fed on itself. But that was back in the day when the Federal Reserve Board was new and was worried about things like balancing the budget instead of making sure there was enough money in the system to make things work. And if you look at the trillions of dollars that the central banks of the world have put into the world financial system, mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to worry about there being an insufficient supply of money.
Yeah, there's been plenty of that. But do you have a concern that deflation will cause some problems with the economy?
The prices of some things will go down. The prices of commodities are going down, which is great for you and me because we're consumers of commodities, not so great for the farmers. The prices of houses have gone down, though that may finally be stabilizing. So to some extent, falling prices can be a problem. But that's sort of a localized problem for different markets. The guys in Washington with interest rates now at what? The short-term interest rate is what, 1%? And they're worried about deflation. They couldn't be printing any more money.
But doesn't printing money constantly cause problems on its own?
Well, yeah. That's why I'm not worried about deflation. To me, the thing I would worry about down the road is inflation, but I wouldn't worry about it now. Right now, you've got to save everything. But do you remember when oil prices went up,
Right. Gasoline
prices went up? It's, oh, my God. Then the consumer price index has dropped. It's deflation. I mean, there must be some series of events that people would consider okay, but I can't find it.
Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, thank you.
You're welcome, Scott.
Tell us what you think. Log on to our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.